Welcome to The Connection,
a podcast to connect you to the parish of Yates and Froomside Benefice.
My name is Howell.
And I'm Justin.
We are your hosts, sharing with you the connection between faith and everyday living. So this week on The Connection, we're getting ready for Christmas now, because it is December.
Yeah,
we're getting there now, aren't we? So yes, it's time to get the Christmas films out. So, Justin, what's your favourite Christmas film, apart from the one we're going to talk about today?
Oh, my goodness. What is my favourite? I mean, Miracle on 34th Street, that's sort of, you know, a good one to watch, I guess. Oh, goodness. There's so many Christmas movies to pick from. Elf. That's another good one.
Elf.
Polar Express, you know, you tell about kids.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you've got to watch it. It's a good one.
I haven't seen that Tom Hanks special.
It's a good one. I mean, some great Christmas movies out there. Difficult to pick which one.
But is Die Hard a Christmas movie? That's the question, isn't it? I say it's not a Christmas film.
But it seems to always roll out at Christmas time and be branded with tinsel that it is.
I think it's just a con. It's like, no, it's not. It's not. What's the other one they like in the house now? Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay.
They like that one.
Okay.
We got them all. It's just too much, really, to be fair.
Now, we know as Christians, there is only one story that we ever really want to focus on. But next to that, there is another story that we focus on.
Yeah, and it's got to be this week. It's Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yay!
I love that. It's got the best songs, isn't it?
May I welcome you to Christmas morning! It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another, a sweet reunion with a friend.
Guaranteed to be a film that everyone has seen. It's rerun a billion times over Christmas. It's certainly part of my ritual Christmas at home with Team Blackett to watch it, because it's just great. I've grown up with it and the kids love it, and it just brings just the touch of Christmas. I mean, Christmas has started when you can hear them.
The thing is with it, though, you don't even have to have kids to watch Christmas Carol.
No,
I remember we bought it on video. No, it was on the telly. It was on the telly on the Christmas Eve 2000, which was our first Christmas where we were married.
Okay.
And we said we weren't going to go anywhere. We were going to stop in the house, because it was our first Christmas where we were married. And we just did all the Christmas prep and all the rest of it. And then Muppet Christmas Carol came on. And I think we've watched it like nearly every Christmas since, really. You kind of can't get round it, innit? You know.
Dickens' story has been remade billions of different times by many different actors. It's been portrayed in many different ways, but there's nothing quite beats the Muppets version.
No, not even the was it Albert Finney 1970 one with the Scrooge with the songs.
Yes,
you know, but this one is good. I think the reason I like the songs, though, I think, is because it's a musical, the songs kind of add to it, though, don't they?
Yeah,
all the way through.
They do, and it's great to see Kermit and his friends all singing along with it too. And it's and of course, I think one of the better things is that the film isn't just central around the characters. There's like another story going on in the background, isn't there? They always get the puppets also doing other things, and I think it must. I mean, it would be great to go the kind of behind the scenes of all of that, because it must have been a massive amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
To generate that.
I like the one, the first song, and he says, "Here comes Mr. Humbug, here comes Mr. Grimm,"
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
And even the cabbages join in, yeah, the song, don't they?
It's so good. There's nothing quite like the Muppets, is it? But I mean, it's a great version of Dickens' story, and, you know, the central character, of course, is Scrooge, but of course, there's lots of other stories that are entwined with that. You know, where have you been if you've not ever heard of the Christmas Carol story before? But the Muppets is a good version, and it is family friendly, but it's also light-hearted. But why are we discussing it on The Connection?
Well, I think it's got a central, the central theme of is redemption, really. That's the central theme of it, is, and of repentance. And a bit like the old man in Apu we were on about the other week,
yes,
is Scrooge is kind of at the end of a long journey into isolation and despair, isn't he? He's not a happy man.
No. You know?
He's somebody who's just sort of, he's cold. And what they say now, darkness was cheap. He likes darkness because it's cheap. He likes the cold because he doesn't have to put the coal on.
Yes.
And he's miserable, dark, cold, and it's just horrible. And he's horrible to other people, but he's consumed with all this sort of mean horribleness, isn't he, really?
He is, and we get a bit of a glimpse of his story. I mean, it's not a whole, you know, we don't get to experience all of it, but the ghost of Christmas past kind of gives us a bit of an insight to what life was like as a young Scrooge. And actually, for a little while, he was actually quite a nice person, wasn't he? But actually, he soon got consumed by career and by money, and by being sensible and being the best that he could be. And I think, you know, there are stories of isolation, not only in the classroom, but from a romance point of view, he lost, people didn't want to be with him because of his attitude. And, you know, even at parties, he was always the boring one because he couldn't compute that when he was a youngster.
No, he couldn't. He at what's his name, Fozzie Bears.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great party.
Mr. and Mrs. Fozzie Wigs, isn't it? Rubber Chicken Factory or whatever it was. It's just really weird. But then, he didn't join in. He didn't dance, did he?
No, he became the stereotypical accountant, which I don't think all accountants are like that. But you know, he was all about the cash.
Yeah,
like I said, you know, coldness was cheap, and so he appreciated that, and I think that consumed him.
And he wanted to be in control, didn't he? And I think, and looking all the time rather than outside of himself, he was always looking inside. He was looking to what he wanted and how he wanted to control the world around him.
Yeah.
And in the end, he just ended up in his own little dank, dark little world.
Yeah.
Until Marley and Marley, the Muppets, turned up and sung their silly song, innit? We're Marley and Marley. Brilliant, they are.
It's great. Chained. I know, such a great thing.
We're Marley and Marley, avarice and greed. We took advantage of the poor, just ignored the needy. We specialized in causing pain, spreading fear and doubt. And if you could not pay the rent, we simply...
And I think, you know, the story talks about that, his, the ghost of Christmas future, kind of really drums into him about the fact that when he's gone, he's gone. And I think I guess probably thought when he said that there was going to be some degree of legacy and people will remember him with a high esteem, but very quickly he realises that he had alienated so many people, and so many people really disliked him, that, you know, his clothes were being sold off as rags, he was the laughing stock, and I think that, you know, seeing his own grave and the realisation that actually he was so isolated.
Yeah, no. And it's not in Muppets, but it's in the other one called Scrooge, which is the musical one. Where they have this big sort of 1970s dance number, which goes, "Thank you very much, it's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me." And what he's done is he's died.
Yeah.
And I think there is that thing where he realises that what he's valued all his life, which is money and control and power, is utterly worthless.
Yes, absolutely. And the Ghost of Christmas Present, I think, was probably so enlightening because he suddenly started to realise the impact he had created on his present day.
Yeah. You know,
and actually starting to realise that he relied on so many people to work for him and to do as he's told. But actually, when they went home, the impact he had placed onto them was significant from his own family members.
Well, he went to see Miss Piggy, didn't he?
Yes. With Kermit. Yeah.
And I think the thing with that as well, though, is he has that drink, isn't it? The milk of human kindness, that he's never drunk from or experienced human kindness.
Yes.
And he's forgotten the joy of spreading that kindness around that brings people, you know. And that But that joy of the Ghost of Christmas Present is kind of infectious a bit, isn't it? And
yes.
At the end of that, you can see throughout the film, really, how he gradually changes and becomes more joyful, more aware of people around him,
yes.
More kind. And I think one of the best images in the whole film is the one of chains.
Okay.
Where Marley and Marley turn up, don't they? And
yes.
They're covered in chains, isn't yes. it? And there's this idea that our evil deeds can sort of hang around us as chains that actually imprison us, really. And I think that's certainly a biblical idea that, you know, we end up through that selfishness will revert back on us and imprison us. That's a big theme in the Bible, really, of how ultimately there's a wonderful line from one of the Psalms that says, you know, the snare which we have set is our own foot caught. In other words, our own sort of evil has trapped us.
Yes.
And this idea of the trap of evil and the chains of evil, which Scrooge just seemed to be sort of caught up in, really.
He certainly did. And it was a culture, I think, he learned from Marley and Marley, who were his partners, weren't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, the realisation that in this kind of afterlife that they are still holding these chains of the badness that they had created to others. And I think they reference that he is carrying those chains, and when he dies, he will be kind of stuck with them as well. And I think one of those ha-ha moments within the films that I think he then started to appreciate from that moment on, that maybe he should be living very differently to shed those chains.
Yeah.
To ask for forgiveness, for repentance, and try and live life differently.
Yeah, and I think the idea of repentance, what repentance means is to change your mind, to turn your mind, that's the idea. And that's really what happens if you want to know. If you're thinking, what is the Christian idea of repentance? Well, it is basically Scrooge, where you are confronted with the reality of who you are.
Yes.
And then you change your mind and say, I don't want to be like that now. And in turning away from the darkness around you, that the chains, it's turning away from that way of living that breaks the chain and allows you to escape from it, really. This idea of evil being a prison, that's the big idea behind it, really.
Now, the magic of a film presents one night, I think Scrooge references it was probably a bit of bad cheese, but I think, you know, the idea is that within one night he is visited by these three ghosts and the realisation occurs and he wakes up a very different person. But, you know, if people are listening to this and they're probably asking those questions themselves, can they turn away from their way of life and try and live a better life and looking for repentance? I mean, what advice can we give our listeners to even start on that journey?
Well, I think the first thing to say really with it is one of the things about today's society is it's a very unforgiving society.
Mm.
So there's a lot of judgment around where, you know, it's like on Twitter, you know, so we're at the sort of general election time now, so there's piles of researchers going through everybody's Twitter to find something stupid they said
15
years ago. Of course. God's not like that. God's not like Twitter. The idea of redemption is to wipe, and forgiveness is to wipe away all of the past and begin again.
Okay.
And that mercy that we see in the Christmas Carol is that even though he has to confront some dark truths about himself. In essence, that's what saves him, isn't it? Is that, and I think what I would say is, journeying towards that, is the best thing to do is to be honest with yourself, but to be merciful to yourself. In other words, to say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I've done. This is the mistakes I've made. But God is always willing to accept me. And at the beginning of most Christian services, There's a moment where we can reflect on our lives or the last week or so and say sorry to God. And I love that part of the service because everybody does it.
Yeah, okay.
It's not like kind of like, oh, well, you lot said sorry. Like, so obviously you've been a bit dodgy this week.
Yeah, know? The cheap seats.
the rough ones over there. Like, you know, they've got it. And I think one of the most powerful things sometimes, especially say when you go to the cathedral or whatever, or you go to other things, is that it doesn't matter who the person is, you know, what's function in the church they have, what level of society they are. We all admit that we get it wrong. And I think church is like Alcoholics Anonymous, really.
Okay.
we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect.
No.
And the weird thing is, the more you can be honest with yourself as Scrooge is,
yeah,
eventually you can be more compassionate to others.
Okay.
Yeah, because you be more compassionate to others because you know yourself, you're not perfect.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I think, interestingly, I think Scrooge had many of those realizations throughout his visions. I think that's called the mat. And in fact, so much so, I think there's a lovely little scene right at the end where he reverted back to his grumpy character.
Oh, yeah.
So when he went to speak to Bob Cratchit and he was being all grumpy, and actually that was funny to see because it was like a realisation that, yeah, actually I was this grumpy person. I can actually pretend briefly to be that, but actually I can sugarcoat it and make it really great at the end and becomes the Scrooge we all want to love now, because of course he has probably forgiven himself for being such a miserable old man and being grumpy and enthralled in this negativity all his life, but then start being quite an incredibly highly charitable person.
Yeah, you know? And it is a parallel in the Gospels of this, which is a man called Zacchaeus.
Okay.
Now, Zacchaeus is a very, very short man, and he was a tax collector on Jericho, on the way to Jerusalem. So just as Jesus is going to Jerusalem for the last time, he goes through the town and Zacchaeus sees him, but because he's so short, he's got to climb up a tree.
Yeah, right? And I guess he wasn't a very liked man. He was a tax collector. He was very small. and I think parts of the Bible do dictate that people generally didn't like him, and he wasn't a nice person, was he?
No, everybody hated him because... Yeah. Everybody hated him because he was a tax collector and he was corrupt.
Yes.
So he worked for the Romans, so that's bad.
He's worked any for association. Occupying power. Yeah, yeah. So never good.
He's a tax collector. Nobody likes the tax man.
No.
And also as well, he's a corrupt one, so he charged you more than he should. And Jesus' response to Zacchaeus, who's a very similar character to Scrooge, really, is to say, please, can I come round your house for some dinner?
Yes. Did he greet him on the tree?
That's it,
He came up to him on the tree. And
he said, come down, I'm going to go to your house for dinner.
Yeah, and everyone was shocked.
Yeah, and the end of Christmas Carol, you know, they go for Christmas dinner, don't they?
They do, absolutely.
And that's the thing. So basically, Jesus' response is to welcome Zacchaeus and to talk to him and to forgive him.
Mm.
And the change in Zacchaeus is that he says, well, if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back four times more than I took, which is what Scrooge does.
Yeah.
He doesn't give back a little bit. He gives it all back, doesn't he? He's got that exuberance like Zacchaeus has. So really, and the other interesting thing is that the people around Jesus were all complaining because Jesus was eating with Zacchaeus when he shouldn't be doing that.
No.
He eats and drinks with sinners. And really, when you're talking about coming to God in repentance at Christmas, being honest with ourselves, we have to remember that God, through Jesus, accepted Zacchaeus and forgave him.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that is beyond God's power to forgive, really. Not even Scrooge.
No, not even Scrooge.
One last thing to say about it all. And there's another story from Scripture which ties in with the Muppet Christmas Carol as well, which is a story from the Acts of the Apostles, where St. Paul is in prison.
Right.
And he's all chained up. And what happens is the angel comes to meet him and his chains fall off.
Okay.
and he escapes prison.
Right.
His chains fall off.
Yeah.
Now, when I was training for the priesthood, I did a stint in Wakefield Prison.
Oh, okay.
Which is a Category A prison up in Yorkshire. It's got all the... It's a bit of a funny place to work, really, because you recognise people and you think, where have I seen you before?
You read the newspaper.
Exactly, yeah.
You were on BBC yesterday.
Oh, I know, you're in Crime Watch, you know. It's sort of like, oh, yeah, you're the bloke who did that. And you're like, oh, dear. Fair enough. But... it was a wonderful place to work because you got a sense that that is the business end of Christianity, sometimes people feel as though, you know, church is for good people and they can't do things in church or they can't be in church. Or the big thing was on Take Me Out the other night, where someone said, oh, if I go into church, I'll get struck down, you know, this sort of thing. You know, you think, okay, all right, fair enough. When you think that all the murderers and rapists and other people who are in the chapel in Wakefield, you can receive communion off, you know, someone who's got a life sentence, you know.
Yeah.
But the wonderful thing about being there was that they could always pick the hymns, right?
Okay.
Right. And they picked the hymns. And the one they always picked was old Charles Wesley hymn. Right, okay. Yeah, which is called And Can It Be, right, yeah.
Okay.
And the chorus for it was, my chains fell off, my heart was free, because, oh my Lord, you found out me.
Okay.
And what they used to do at the end of the hymn, when they went, my chains fell off, they used to throw their hands in the air like this. But the funny thing was, some of them were still handcuffed. You saw these chains everywhere. But what they did say is that some of them who were at life sentences, they said that they knew that in this life they would never be free again.
Okay.
But when they sang And Can It Be, they felt free because they knew that God had forgiven them.
Okay.
And their real chains had been taken away, like in Scrooge.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, isn't it? That's amazing. That's a good story, though, isn't it? And it connects beautifully to the idea of Scrooge and repentance and the idea that it takes you right to modern-day inmates who are aware that they have done wrong and they've turned to God for forgiveness, that sometimes the crimes are too much and they're stuck within that life sentence. But actually, what's sometimes really important is, A, that self-realisation that you want to change, and the self-realisation of that you've done something wrong, that a lot of that, you will get forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that must be very reassuring, that they will be at peace with their own death, because they'll know that at judgment they would have been judged and they are free.
They are free. And I think maybe the last thing to say with this, which I think is quite important as we run up to Christmas, is some sort of like thinking about it, is that materialism that... consume Scrooge. Yeah. I think we are, and consumption, the materialism, that's something that we are invited to join in with in the run-up to Christmas. And this idea of Christmas Day being like the perfect day, that we have to all sit around and have the perfect family, like the Asda advert and all this sort of thing, you know, and, you know, we all have to be like the John Lewis Christmas and everything else. And I think that's a really... horrible chain that they invite us to bind ourselves with. And I think that it's the opposite of what Christmas should be. And one of the wonderful things of celebrating the Christian Christmas in that sense is we get that sense of being free from expectation.
Okay.
And focusing on the person of Jesus outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
Enables us to not take on that chain of expectation and Asda adverts. So your chain fell off, my heart was free, because I walked out of Tesco's and it found out me.
Oh dear, but there we are. Well, So as we move closer to Christmas, I think it's very important that if you just keep an eye on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our Instagram, and equally important, if you're part of our mailing list, there's lots of exciting things happening for this year's Christmas within the parish of Ye and within the Frome side for you to take the opportunity to find some peace somewhere on the line. Because I think we're all going to appreciate that Christmas gets incredibly busy and living to the expectation that maybe we are portrayed on telly, that sometimes it's quite nice to find some peace. And so our churches will be open. There will be plenty to engage with. And if you are new to the parish of Yate and you're looking to connect with the church, because Christmas is a good time to start looking for, if any starting your journey with our faith, then you'll be more than welcome to come to any of our churches. There's plenty going on.
Yeah, so it's all on the websites as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
Over in Frome side, in Yate, both of them. And they'll be in the show notes, both of the web links and everything else you need. So I won't say get ready for the big day.
And you're on overtime, aren't you?
No, you sound like my dad now. And he said to me, he said, do you get double time on Christmas? I'm like, no. He said he won't have a word with the union about that.
Well, more next time on The Connection.